starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Do you ever wish that you could hear directly from the people who have gone from regular SLPs or OTs to successful private practitioners after going through the Start Your Private Practice program? Their words, their experience, and their outcomes from being in the program? Well, today's episode is going to introduce you to four amazing Start Your Private Practice alums. We've got three SLPs on the panel: Vanessa Acala, Luisa Ronaldo, and Rachel Harrelson, and one OT, Megan Bartley. All four of these Start Your Private Practice students came from different backgrounds. Some of these clinicians are in major cities, and others are in small towns. Some work exclusively with adults, others exclusively with children, and others with all ages. Three started their private practices early in their careers, and one started after a career change. All four of these clinicians had the same fears, doubts, and hesitations about private practices you do, but they decided to go for it and join the Start Your Private Practice program to create a new future for themselves, their families, and their clients. And I can't wait to introduce them to you, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. Hello, boot campers. I am so excited to be here tonight with some of the students from the Start Your Private Practice program. And y'all are going to get to know them and also get to know why they decided to join the program, when they decided to join in terms of their private practice, and then what is their private practice looking like these days, right? A lot of times when people join the program, they start with like a couple of clients on the side, and some people start that way and then stay that way, right? They see a couple of private clients for extra income to work with ideal clients and whatnot. And other people like start that way, but then shift into full-time private practice. And so we have an awesome mix of people at different levels and stages. We've got SLPs, we've got OT, and it's going to be really, really fun. So please ask your questions in the comments as things go up or come along. But I'm going to let all of our panelists introduce themselves. And I'm going to just kind of go in the order I see people. So let's start with Rachel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Harrelson, and I am located here in North Texas, and I own a pediatric private speech therapy clinic. And I'm super excited to tell you guys how that came along. It's a great story, and it's nice to meet y'all.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Okay, our next panelist is Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan. I am from Hutchinson, Kansas. It's just a small town in the middle of the state. I own a private practice in pediatrics, and I'm an occupational therapist. So we are also a fun story that kind of just came out of a dream. And here we are. Glad to be here.
Oh,
I love it. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Next, we have Louisa.
Hi, everybody. My name is Louisa Renato. I have a private practice in Red Bank, New Jersey. This has been a very quick process for me, but I'm very excited to be here. I primarily am actually working with adults 21 and plus with special needs. And I also take on some pediatric clients as well. And I absolutely love it. Today was my first day working full time for myself. So this is very fitting. And I'm very excited to talk with everyone.
Oh my gosh, like we couldn't have even planned that better.
I know. I honestly didn't even put two and two together until we got on. And I was like, oh my God, this was the actual first day. And it like really all worked out.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you can see in the comments, you've got lots of people cheering you on. So congratulations.
Thank you, everyone. And,
you know, it's funny. The last time we did this, actually, someone, it was Claudia Davison, who's one of the mentors for the START program. It was either her 2 or 3 year anniversary in her private practice the day that we did this. So, you know, it's totally cool. Okay. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. And last but not least is Vanessa.
Yay for adults. We should have popped some bubbly. So congratulations. That's a huge milestone. My name is Vanessa Alcala. I am a bilingual speech language pathologist. I'm located in Tampa, Florida. And as you probably already guessed, I do treat adolescents and adults. My story is quite interesting as well, a little bit more slow and steady, but I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I love it. And so one of the things that I would love to have everyone kind of go back around and kind of talk about is what setting were you working in like before you started thinking about private practice? And then what was it that really got you to think like, you know what, I'm going to go for this, right? So if Rachel, you could kind of start and just again, talk about what setting were you in prior to thinking about private practice or while you were thinking about private practice? And then what made you decide that this is what you were going to do?
So I was actually thinking of private practice back when I was in grad school, but I was too nervous to even think about taking that kind of leap. So I did schools. So I have kids, I have 3 kids. So I did the schools for a long time. And it got to the point where our caseloads were getting so large that it was, like I told Jenna, it was quantity over quality. So I felt like, is this what I want to do the rest of my life? Am I supposed to be doing this? Because I didn't see much improvement at all in any of my students. And I felt like groups of 4 and 5, this is just not working. And I felt more pushed more over the edge than in any, and I used to be in the military. So that was, it was more stressful than when I was in the Navy. So that being said, I saw Jenna's program and I said, you know what? I'm almost 40. If I don't, you know, try this now, I never will. And it just took off. It took off so quickly. It's been wonderful.
And Rachel has been a guest on the podcast. So if anyone wants to hear her full story, please go find her episode of the podcast. But Rachel, are you in your clinic space?
No, I'm in my husband's office. So
okay,
my husband does my insurance billing for me. So technically.
Nice, nice, nice. But you've recently moved into your own office.
Yes, I was renting a small space, maybe 10 by 10 in an insurance office just when I started doing part-time after my school. And then in 2021, I took the leap and just said bye to them. And I was doing full-time except for part-time contract with a charter school now and then. And then this past January, I moved into a new 1,000-foot space, which is actually really big compared to 10 by 10. And I subleased to a myofunctional therapist, which is amazing. So we tag team a lot and it's been great. It's a beautiful place. I have my own waiting room, my own little waiting area for kids to play. I have like little kitchen. Y'all, it's awesome. And I have my own storage room. And for other SLPs, you guys know, like toys, toys, toys. So much toys.
But I love that. And Rachel, this really just highlights too, like how you can build over time, right? How you can start off just doing home visits and then you get like a small space and now you get a larger space. And who knows, maybe you'll have an even larger space like at some point, right?
No.
But you're just nicely settled where you are. So let's stay there for a while. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, Megan, can you share about, you know, kind of where you were working when you started thinking about private practice?
Sure. It's kind of a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I graduated from Boston University in September of 2021. So not even quite 2 years yet, just about a year and a half out of school. And a month before I graduated, one of my regulars from the farmer's market, because I do a lot of baking as well, asked me where I was going to be working. And I said, probably not here because there's no jobs. And so I was looking in Tennessee and Colorado, and she goes, hey, did you know that the chiropractor down the street is looking for an OT to rent her basement? Because she had a couple of kiddos with sensory processing disorders. And so she made a sensory gym in the basement. And I said, oh, that's all great and stuff. Not for me. She goes, well, just go talk to her. So I went and I talked to her, and she connected me with an OT who had started her private practice about 10 years ago in Wichita, which is about an hour drive each way. And so I started working for her actually that November of 2021, and was there for about 9 or 10 months. At about month 5, I told her that I really wanted to be able to provide services in my hometown because there was nothing here. We had kids coming from Oklahoma, which from where we are, it's about a 5-hour drive each way, just because we have such a healthcare gap. And so I said, I really want to start something there. So she allowed me to open the Hutchinson location, and I fell in love with my Hutch families. I loved my Wichita families, but there's something special about your hometown. And so it was a couple months after that that I started asking myself, could I do this? Could I really do this? And, you know, imposter syndrome was real. I wasn't even a year out of school when I decided I was going to open my private practice. But I am so glad that I did. And now I'm serving over 45 families. And I'm hiring my first employee it's May, at the end of this month. And yesterday was our 6-month mark. So, yeah. Wow.
Oh my gosh. So many good things to talk about with your story, right? The fact that you can start a private practice young in your career, right? And also the fact that you can serve your hometown, right? Especially for people who live in more rural communities, that where you've got people who are going without services, are traveling, oh my gosh, 5 hours for therapy. Y'all, there is a huge need in this country, no matter where you live, right? But to be able to bring services, much needed services, to your hometown is absolutely incredible. So,
and I will throw it out there that I'm working on a couple others to help them start their private practices. So I'm trying to push them in the group.
Yes, come on, come. Like, and also the growth too, right? Like you can start off small and stay small, or if you're seeing this huge need, like you can actually do this pretty quickly. And especially if you've got people who need services, like, you know, you're going to want to help deliver that for them, right?
Yep.
Oh, I love it. All right. So, and the whole baking thing too, right? Like, I know you have like a, you know, multi-passionate kind of a situation here, and I think that's awesome too.
Thanks.
Okay. Love it. Love it. Okay, cool. And y'all, people who are watching, if you have any questions for the panelists, you can just go ahead and type them in too. Louisa, can you share again what setting you were working in when you started thinking about private practice?
Sure. So I actually was working in a private practice. I also graduated in 2021. So we're like baby clinicians, I guess. So feels weird to be fully in there, but here we are. So I graduated in 2021. I was working for a private practice. I was the only full-time employee there. Primarily a lot of the time was by myself. And, you know, you learn by being thrown in, and I appreciate that experience. I've always wanted to have a private practice when I like first started grad school. Just growing up, I grew up in the special needs community. I have a brother with special needs, and like, just, you know, you always have the parents are like, oh, one day I want you to be my kid's speech therapist. And like, I have a lot of those people now, you know, so it's like cool to see full circle moment happening. But yeah, so I was in that private practice setting already, and I'm just transitioning into a little bit of a different one by adding the adults into it.
I love that.
Now, when it comes to your private practice too, are there things, and you don't need to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but have you thought about like how you want to own and operate your private practice differently, perhaps, than the one that you are working at?
Yes, definitely. And I loved my boss and I thought that she was wonderful and she gave me a huge opportunity I was the first CF she ever took, you know, and that in itself meant so much to me. But I think in any experience, in any job, you go in there and you're going to see things that you're like, well, maybe I would do this a little bit differently or I would do that differently, you know? So I'm taking that and I'm taking what I've learned and I'm trying my best to go in that route. And I actually, since I was actually asked to be a provider, I'm a provider through DDD, potentially in the next month or so, I'm going to be providing services, at a day program. And it's going to be like an art and speech social group, which I've always wanted to do. And the woman asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah, I do. That's like my dream. So I'm doing that. I'm going to be providing for them. And I got to hire somebody to do that with me. So that was a big thing. And I just started, I think I joined in February.
Yeah. You've been moving quickly.
Yeah. And it's been good and scary, but mostly good.
Yeah. I love that. And we could be honest about that, right? Anytime that you're doing something new that you've never done before, it can be scary, right?
Yeah.
But I also love that you have also started on the young side. And that you're also like getting to do some really cool things, right? To be able to do like, you know, art and speech. I mean, like, how cool is that to be able to do some of the outside of the box services that you just don't get to do when you're in like a regular setting? And so I think that that's one of the things I like about private practice, you know, for me and for all of us, is to be able to leverage whatever our like unique talents and abilities. Like, Megan, maybe you'll do a baking group if you haven't like done that yet, right? But to be able to do whatever cool stuff you want to do, like, you can do it in your own business.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's like you have, and like, I feel like all of us can be like a little bit like a control freak. So like, for me to be able to like have that control sometimes, like, it feels really good. But being able to like allow people who I'm starting to hire also like help me in that. And I tell them too, like, this is new to me, you know, like, I'm giving them the opportunity to be like, tell me what I'm doing wrong too, because I want to be a better boss, you know, and a better clinician and all these things I'm learning, but it's a lot of fun while I'm doing it.
Oh, I love it. And you learn as you go, right? Yeah. And you learn with support, right? I think that that's the most important thing too. Yeah. Oh, love it. Okay. So the next person is Vanessa. So Vanessa, again, can you just share kind of what setting you have been working in, especially when you started thinking about private practice?
For sure. So like I said, mine's a little bit different. I actually bought the LLC the day that I had graduated from grad school. So I was pretty dead and determined to start my own private practice. I just didn't know like what the big picture looked like, right? So I got a CF, a medical CF placement at a skilled nursing facility, and I actually worked there up until recently, now that I have my own practice. And I just got a little complacent. I'm going to be honest with you, like, with decent money, I just kind of feel like, oh, you know, maybe that's like, I don't need that. Maybe I don't need to do that. This is fine. This is working for me. And long story short, I think between COVID, being like super pregnant in the middle of COVID, on the front lines, dealing with all that fun stuff, and then working weekends, and I've worked weekends since I was like 16 years old, and holidays and missing family functions and everything, I just kind of felt a shift, honestly, after I had my son, that you bought that for a reason. You bought the LLC the day that you graduated for a reason. So it was time to pursue it, you know? So it kind of took me a while to jump over the ledge, because yes, we are control freaks. We like plan. And I'm a Capricorn. I'm not going to like jump over the ledge if I don't have like a game plan per se. So like I said, skilled nursing facility, there are a lot of things about it with activity. Don't get me wrong, I had amazing directors of rehab, and I think regardless, upper management, it's always like just down the pipeline per se. But it was really when I had my son and I decided quality of life mattered and that I could work smarter and not harder. That was really the shift for me.
Yes. And I don't know if you can see in the comments, but several people saying like, you know, it's so relatable and, you know, everything else. And I think too, as parents, like, we really especially during COVID and during this, you know, whatever we're calling now, like everyone's reevaluating their lives and how they mm-hmm. want to spend their time and who they want to spend their time with. And, you know, for me, it's wanting to spend more time with my family, right? And I know that that's definitely true of a lot of our students, like want to get out of some like bad management situations or bad supervision situations where people are really feeling like they're part of a system that probably you've tried to change, right? Mm-hmm. And there's only so much that you can try before you start to get burned out. And then you start to realize, wait a minute, I think that I need to go create my own system in my own practice.
Definitely. You can be as optimistic as you want. I feel like I'm a very like glass half full person, and you can have a great team, you can have a great morale, but at the end of the day, the things that are set in structure are set in structure, and you can't really change that. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. So a couple of questions that have come in that I'll just kind of start asking everyone. One question is about where are y'all finding clients? So how are you getting referrals to your practice? How, you know, most of you have caseloads that are building up. So where are these clients coming from? Let's start with Rachel.
So funny story is, so part of a mom's group here, I'm in Burleson, Texas, and I'm part of a mom's group. And you're really not supposed to go in there and say, hey, I started a private practice, I'm looking for people. So what I did was I was going to get credentialed in insurance. So I put a little post out that said, hi, everyone, I'm opening up a private practice for pediatric speech therapy, and I really need to know what the main insurance companies are in my area. So not only did I get my answer, which for us is Blue Cross, I also got about 10 referrals. So they talked to each other and it kind of spread. And I also got referrals from a previous school that I worked at. And so slowly, I also have about 40 to 45 families that I serve now. And I think getting credentialed for me was the thing to do, because we do have low income families who really rely on their insurance around here. So getting credentialed with the top three insurance companies in my area is what really helped my caseload to explode, for sure.
Awesome. Love it. Megan, where are your clients coming from?
I started with social media, knowing my community, and there's a Hutchinson Helping People's group. There's an autism mom's group. And so I put it out there. I would share it on every page. Sometimes it would get deleted because that's not allowed on some pages, but I tried. I was able to connect with our local news outlet, and they ran a couple articles on us coming to Hutch. One, I didn't actually even know that the first article came out until we were on the radio. And then I was like, whoa, we're in the news. That's cool. And so they're always looking for stories. And so that was really helpful. I've also hosted and am planning to host more throughout the year, but a couple of sensory safe activities and events. So we had sensory and Santa for Christmas. We had a sensory safe Easter egg hunt in April. And so a couple of those events just bring in families into the clinic. It's a free event, but they get to see the space. They get to meet the team. And then I gather contact information and potential concerns that they have for their child, and I follow up. And then word of mouth, do your job, do it well, make those parents want to talk, because they will. They know where the kids are. They know where the families are. Just make them talk.
Yeah, so. Totally. I love that. I say that all the time. You know, if you want word of mouth, you have to give people things to talk about, right? And so, yeah, I love that. And very innovative ways to be finding clients. Awesome. And people are very impressed in the comments, I have to say. Louisa, where are your clients coming from?
So a lot of mine are also from word of mouth. Like I said before, I kind of have a lot of families that I know in the special needs community. Like, I do a lot of programming within my community already. So a lot of them have known that, like, this is kind of where I was going to end up eventually. So now that I'm here, they're like, all right, we're in, you know, and they immediately are signed up. I have like 12 families right now. And once I fully get DDD approved in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. I have like a wait list of people for that already. But also social media has been a huge outlet. I'm always trying to keep things, you know, current, trying to inform people of things, not only my services, but just in general, like inclusion. I'm really big on inclusion and just trying to educate the community. And I also, I own my other LLC I'm an embroidery business. So, which is very much so not having anything to do with speech therapy, but, so I have that business that I have people on that I'm able to like, I find people on there. They talk to me. I point them in the direction of my other social media. It's all a social media game, but I find a lot of great people. I meet a lot of new people and, it's just been great. And another thing I do suggest if you want, to work with adults with special needs and or teens, transition fairs are wonderful. So those transition fairs that take you from the middle schoolers, high schoolers, usually the school set them up, and then you can go to a transition fair, set up your table, talk, meet with families, even if they're not ready for you to be their child speech therapist now, who's to say they won't be 5 years from now. And sorry, real quick, I see someone asking, DDD is a division of developmental disabilities. So in New Jersey, adult special needs are allocated funds to get services, programming, and all that. So I would be kind of like, think of it like insurance almost, that I'm allowed to be paid through them from the funds for each individual 21 and over. So yeah.
It's just another alternative funding source, right? And so, sorry. When it comes to people think, and we'll also talk about, you know, what payment sources everyone takes here in a second, but, you know, there's other options than like private pay and insurance,
yeah,
right? There's other ways to be paid. And so being creative about that really opens you up to a lot more people and creative funding, which is pretty cool. Okay, Vanessa, where are your clients coming from?
I would agree, primarily word of mouth. And honestly, when I joined the independent clinician, the networking, it exploded. Just the amount of people that were local to me, like SLP, PT, OT, I was like astounded. I literally thought I was a lone wolf on a lonely island trying to figure it all out. So I would say networking, word of mouth. I do have some family members that frequently visit doctor's offices and whatnot for years, like my dad. So we have personal connections with certain doctor's offices and people that I've known since I was little. So it's always nice because, you know, my dad would go to the doctor and be like, oh, my daughter is now that, you know, and I'll bring him the business cards, bring him this. Absolutely. And since I'm bilingual in English and Spanish, especially in Tampa, there's such a need for it as well, too. I am a participating provider with Medicare and I do accept private pay. So I'm not at a full caseload yet, but I kind of don't want to be. But I'm just kind of taking it slowly. Actually, in the month of May, I'm going to start hosting aphasia support groups at my clinic. And I'm currently Speak Out certified. So I would like in the foreseeable future to do loud crowds as well. But like I said, I'm kind of slow and steady. I'm a perfectionist a little bit. So I like to take my time and just make sure everything is strategic. But aphasia support groups for sure is going to be a big one, especially with my old colleagues that I'm still in contact with at USF, the University of South Florida, Voices of Hope. I mean, it's just, like I said, when you really open your eyes and realize the amount of networking and people and just resources available to you. And like last week, I did a resource fair at a local hospital, right? So it's just nice to be able to go wherever you can and people bite and they contact you. And if they are not a participating provider with Medicare, so long as legally okay, they're willing to pay private pay. So you just kind of make it work wherever possible.
Totally. And I love what you said about support groups. I have long been a fan of support groups because you're really leading with helpfulness and it just doesn't feel, you know, sometimes especially SLPs and OTs get nervous about like feeling pushy or like that mm-hmm. kind of thing when it comes to like putting themselves out there in marketing. But when you are a participant in a support group, even if you just come in the last 5 minutes and give some tips or whatever, that's an awesome mm-hmm. opportunity for people to see you as someone who's helpful, someone who's knowledgeable. And a lot of times people are like looking for help for themselves, for their spouse, for their loved ones, for their child. And so support groups are great. The one other thing I'll say too is like whoever the support group leader is knows all of the people who have ever come to the support group, right? So that's a great person to get in with who knows just infinite people in that community, whatever that community is.
Definitely.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
Megan, what payer sources do you accept?
I am currently in network with Medicaid. I would say a quarter of my caseload at least are foster kiddos. And so that's a big part of why I chose Medicaid. I will say it's still a process and I'm still waiting for my first paycheck from them, but I can feel it getting closer. So I'm troubleshooting some stuff this week with Fusion, and, you know, get on the phone with Medicaid. So that's something I'm not looking forward to, but it's going to be fine. And so Medicaid and private pay, I will say, there are a few families that I know will benefit from services that even with insurance cannot afford services. So there are a few families that I have set aside grant funding for. So we just received our second grant last week, which is huge. But with the grant funding set aside, I'm able to provide some services pro bono for my families. I mentioned there's a healthcare gap. Our food insecurity rates are higher than the state and national averages, which I'm also very passionate about. And that's another revenue stream, just to throw that out there. We have a very high concentration of families who are living under the poverty line. And so I was very cautious when I started private pay. And so it started slow. And as soon as we got credentialed with Medicaid, which is a process, but it's possible, that really changed the game for us. And I always tell families up front, my private practice specifically, others have, you know, other needs and things, but I never want finances to be a barrier for the services that I believe in that can help change their lives and create independence and success. I firmly believe in what I do. I wouldn't be doing what I did if I didn't believe in it. And I don't want finances to be a barrier. So I work extra hours every week to work on grant applications. We're setting up a couple of fundraising campaigns also that'll kick off this summer. There's a parent group that potentially wants to rent out my sensory gym space when I'm not using it for a support group. And I'm okay, great. And then I'm also partnering with St. Francis, which is our foster care agency here, to host continuing ed credit courses for parents in the form of a support group who are fostering. So there's all sorts of balls up in the air that I'm trying to juggle, but that's why I'm hiring. So she can do it too.
Totally. But again, like people who are watching / listening, like think of all of the, you know, for all of our panelists, all of the cool things that people are doing, right? I think that that's one of the misconceptions about private practice is just like that it's all just kind of evaluations and, you know, individual sessions and whatever. And it's very kind of like cookie cutter and like just one way. But hopefully from listening to everyone who's here on the panel, like there's a lot of ways to do this. And I think that that's one of the most inspiring things for me anyway, is to see all of the cool ways that people are really helping their communities, like whoever that that community is, right?
I think I forgot to mention that we're a nonprofit. So I also have that side of things on it as well. So when people do donate or we do get grant funding, they can, it is tax deductible. So they can, I forgot to say that, but that's a huge part.
That's actually good. A lot of times people ask, would you mind just sharing like briefly kind of what the process or how the process went for you to become, to get set up as a nonprofit?
Sure. There were just a few in the state of Kansas. There were just a few extra forms that we had to fill out. And we were able to change our billing cycle so that our end of year taxes aren't actually due until July, which is helpful since we started at the very end of October to kind of give us a little extra cushion in tax stuff. But really, it was just a few extra forms, but it made the most sense for the way that we decided to run our business. And as a solo practitioner, I have a board of directors behind me who helps me make these big decisions and who helps support me in writing documentation or, you know, our forms and things or coming up with processes or projects in clinic for painting or things. And our marketing with someone else on my board. So
I love that. Because yes, that is something that people ask all the time is about nonprofits. So Megan, maybe I'll have to have you on the podcast to talk more about it. Okay. Love it. She gave a thumbs up.
I want to point out too, like with adults. So like I'm a certified dementia practitioner. So oftentimes if they don't have the insurance, so they're unable to afford private pay, I'll sometimes do like dementia caregiver consultation. So for 60 minutes, we can Zoom call, very informal. It's not direct speech therapy. Of course, it's not skilled per se, but it's consulting with them about their loved one or family member, spouse, parent, whoever it is, to be able to just give them knowledge on dementia, the different stages, what are things to look out for, what other professionals, like in my template, I have like 10 other lists of professionals that I created to send off after and just kind of personalize it to them. Because you know, oftentimes people get a diagnosis and they're sent on their way and they don't realize that there are so many different disciplines that OT and PT and you know, eye doctors and everything that can really bring value, especially to someone who has dementia. So that's another stream of income that you can do as well. I saw recently something about ADHD coaching. I personally don't do that, but I saw that on the radar too. And I thought that was interesting. And then like SLP coaching as well for anyone else that's either new or whatever. And I know someone mentioned earlier, like being a clinician, let me tell you, I almost regret not doing it sooner because I think that is the ideal time because the viewpoint that you have, that fresh viewpoint of learning new things, that this is worth trying. Like, you had mentioned too, like, in Jersey, you're like, well, you tell me as, you know, the employer as well, an employee, what do you think? Like, we're learning from each other here. That is the best mindset to have because it's almost like you don't want, oh, we've been doing this for 20 years. So I think like now is the time, period.
Totally. And I'm super biased with that too. Like I also started my practice when I was 26. I was like 9 months out of my CF, right? So I also did it very young and I also think it's the best time to get started, right? Part of like, you know, y'all always hear me talk about like the old way and the new way, right? The old way is to wait until you've had, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of experience to get started. The new way is to start early and then gain experience as you go, right? Y'all have heard me talk all the time about Jenna's favorite F words, right? The freedom, flexibility, fulfillment, finances, family, and fun. Which of those words, or it could be any combination, have you like started to actually see come true through your private practice that you're like, you know what? I really do have more of blank. Can we start with you, Rachel?
I would definitely be a freedom and family. I have a husband and three kids and I was staying late at the schools trying to get everything done. And I said, no more. And my youngest is 5 and, you know, she's growing into this little person and, you know, and I didn't want to miss that. And I knew if I was able to get my practice started, I could set my own hours and I was able to make the same that I was making full time, only working only 3 days a week. And so I was having 40 weekends during the summer. And then I choose to work a little bit more while the kids are at school anyway. But that was crazy to me, seeing those numbers. I use Simple Practice for my EMR, and to see the numbers just keep going up and up and up. And it was so blessed. I just can't believe that I'm able to do this and not have to work as hard. It's great.
Y'all, I say this all the time, but somehow when I say it, people don't always believe me. But when you hear like our students in the program say that they literally are able to make the same or more as they were making before in less time, such as 3 days a week, like this is totally possible. It's possible for Rachel. It's possible for you too.
Yes, for sure. It is.
Love it. Okay, Megan, of Jen's favorite F words, what F words have you had come through for your private practice?
I would definitely say flexibility is a huge one. So I think right after I joined the START program, like I was on it for 2 or 3 weeks, go, go, go. And I thought I was going to open mid-October. And then at the beginning of October, my parents unexpectedly became foster parents to one of my youth group kiddos. And our lives completely changed. Still are changing. And then at the end of December, my grandma fell and fractured her skull and is now no longer able to go home. And so we transitioned her to a nursing home in January. And I was able to move my schedule around to be able to provide at-home care for my grandma when my mom needed to be at work. I still am able to move my schedule around to help out with our foster kiddo. I get to go on vacations. This summer, I moved my schedule around and I get a day off in the middle of the week. And I'm so excited about it. It's been a long time since I've had a day off. A true, like, nothing scheduled day off. And it's just, I wouldn't have been able to do any of that or be there for my family in the ways that I really wanted to be if it wouldn't have been for private practice. And so I just, and then the freedom of I get to do whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, whenever I want to do it. I say it all the time to everybody. They're like, well, can you do that? Yes, I said I can, so I will. And that's so refreshing. Because sometimes I think that my boss would have thought I was crazy if I would try some of the treatment plans that I have been at the last practice I was at. So the options are limitless. If you can dream it, you can do it, as long as it's safe and ethical and all of that. But it's so fun. Like, I would not change anything. And it's hard. Like, the reality is, it's a hard transition. There's work to make it happen, but it is so worth it. 100% worth it.
Oh, man. Beautiful, right? And I think that, you know, the flexibility is huge. There's so many people out there who have, you know, just life, right? And people need to be able to take time for their family, take time for themselves, take time for self-care, all of these things. So I love for you and for your grandma and your parents and the foster kiddo, right, that you've been able to really step in and have that flexibility for them, but then have a day off in the middle of the week. Like, that's incredible, right? You know, you can go get your hair cut. You can go do, you know, go to a movie if you want to. Go to whatever you want to do. I love that. I love it. Awesome. Okay, Louisa, what are Jenna's favorite F words? Which ones have worked out for your private practice?
So I'd have to say also flexibility has been just a huge component. I mean, going from private practice to a private practice, the last one is kind of like, you know, you're kind of dictated to what to do in a certain way. So like I'd be treating, I had like 40 to 45 treats a week on top of running my other business, on top of helping my family. And one big thing is like being able to drive my brother to like his programs. Like he's 25, his Down syndrome has got like the the biggest schedule I've ever seen in my life. Like, my social schedule is nothing compared to his. So like, we're figuring out who's picking him up, who's dropping him off. And like, I can do that now. Like, my office is down the street. I can go like, oh, go pick him up. Fine. I don't have anyone right now. I can go do that. And I can bring him to my office, and he has a place to stay, and he can be somewhere if he wants, you know? And like, that flexibility has just been so huge for all of us. And it's just wonderful to be able to do those things. You know, like, I went from treating back to back, because we had 30-minute sessions at the other place, and it would be like back to back to back. I would have 8 kids in a row. Unless someone canceled, you know, you don't have a break. And now I can say, I want to eat lunch at an appropriate time and take 30 minutes to myself. And I can do that now. And it's really great to be like flexible in that way. And even I do early intervention for another facility still, and I'm able to just plop people in, because I have people that come to my office. I have people where I go to their home and I do in-home treatments with my adults, especially because it just helps with carryover a lot more for those guys. And I do community-based stuff. So like, we can meet out in the community and do things. And like, I can do those things now. You know, it's not just, hey, come to my office, I'm going to stay in this one space. I like to get up and move. So like, I'm always on the move. And that's good for me for right now, for my life. And as my life continues to change, those things can change. And that's okay. And I don't have to like answer to anyone to say like, oh, I can, like, I went on vacation for 4 days last week in between when I stopped working at the other place and when I started working full time for myself. And it was, I didn't know what to do with myself. I had to stop myself from trying to send emails and work, because I don't know any better. And now I have to teach myself, essentially. Like, this is teaching myself how to relax in a way, you know? And I know a lot of us have a hard time with that. And it's a skill that we need. And I think that joining this group was definitely something that helped me learn to slow my roll just a little bit.
Yes. Yes. Because what happens all the time is that we have so many ingrained habits, and a lot of them are bad habits, right? From when we worked, you know, in other places and whatnot. So when you have your own business, you have a unique opportunity to really, you know, set your own schedule and to make sure you have a lunch break, right? And if you all of a sudden don't have lunch breaks, like, it's no one else's fault than your own, right? And so really being good about those boundaries and saying, you know what, I need time during the day to recharge, or, you know, whatever it is. I think that is really important. And another thing I'll say real quickly is that you have this, you know, private practice can change with you through different seasons of life, right? Different busyness, you know, if you move, you have kids, you know, any number of things can happen, and your practice can get bigger or smaller as it needs to. You can hire people, you can stay small, whatever it is that you want to do. And so I love for you, again, and for your family and for your brother, that you've got this flexibility to be able to, you know, engage in those kind of events with people and then, but still have your practice.
For sure.
I love it. All right. Last but not least, Vanessa. What of Jenna's favorite F words are working out for you in your practice?
Well, that's tough to choose because all of them are equally important, really. But I would say for me, it would probably be flexibility in finances. My family has always been important to me. I think we could all agree with that. And I've always found a way to spend time with them other than bedtimes, but then after bedtime with me time. But the flexibility, I would say, as well, being able to, like today, I went to the nail salon, spent a couple hours there in between my sessions. And I was like driving to the nail salon and I was like, are you supposed to be doing this right now? Like, is there something else you should be doing? Like, you have a list. You certainly have a to-do list. So it's just kind of nice to be able to like take time off in the middle of the day or meet another therapist friend for lunch and bounce ideas off of each other and just have that flexibility. And I agree as well with like, not just personal flexibility, but from a therapeutic approach as well, like community-based, like Louisa said, being able to say, all right, well, you go to the bakery weekly, but your dysarthria is really becoming an issue. So you kind of shut down and have your family member order for you. Let's go together. Like, just, you can't do that when you're in like a skilled nursing facility or in an acute care setting per se. So I love that component to it as well. And what my vision for my clinic in the future is to make it holistic based, very mindfulness based. I think that's something that's lacking just because it's a little bit less maybe research driven, or it's just not, everybody has different opinions about it. So I really want to gear towards that, whether it's, you know, guided meditation and yoga and modifications for people with disabilities. That's definitely something that I want to host at my clinic, and just being able to do that, like even as a support group, or just say, just like with art or baking, like embroidery, anything that you can do, you can modify it to facilitate it so that you're getting personal gratification out of it. And it's fulfilling to you. And it's also fulfilling to them. It's not just a worksheet in a clinic with bare walls, like skill and drill. It's totally different. It's functional. It's practical. And it's like, it's just the best thing ever.
Totally. And that's going to get at one of my other favorite F words, which is fulfillment, right? Like that is so much more fulfilling to you as the clinician and also to your clients to have really meaningful therapy, right? Because I also came from like the hospital world where it was a lot of worksheets. Would you say skill and drill? Like that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
Yeah, no one makes as much progress. It's boring. All of those ones also have like old timey things like how to write balanced checkbooks and stuff. Like no one even does that anymore, right? And so being able to go to a grocery store, go to whatever, and like that stuff is so important. So I love that for you and your clients. So as we start to kind of wrap up a little bit, what would you say to anyone who's listening and watching and who was like kind of on the fence about private practice and or about the START program? What would you tell people who are kind of making their decision about whether or not to pursue private practice with help from START? Rachel.
Well, if they're here, then they've already made that decision. It's there. You just have to go for it. I mean, if you don't try, you're never going to know. And that's where I was coming from. Like, I was so terrified because I'm so used to somebody always telling me what to do. And when y'all were saying earlier, it's like, am I supposed to be out here? And I've done, like, I drove past the school I used to work at and I was like, I'm going to go get some lunch. And I'm going to go get one of my favorite smoothies and just take some time, you know, and I'm going to go and have lunch with my daughter at her school, which is right around the corner from my practice. So just don't be afraid because you're never going to know unless you give it a try. And what's the worst thing that can happen? Oh, it doesn't work out. And at least you know. And that was my feeling is I have to at least try. And then I surprised myself. Like, just that how awesome it's gone. So if I can do it, I know anybody can.
Awesome. I love it. And you're doing a great job with it, by the way. So you keep up the good work, Rachel. Okay, Megan.
I found this course through a random Google search in desperation of how I was going to bill. And it's still a challenge. I'm still navigating it. I was pretty transparent about that a little bit ago, but this group has transformed private practice for me in ways that it's really hard to describe until you're in it. And I actually left my small group tonight to come join you guys. One of the girls was like, hey, where are you going? And I said, oh, I got to go do this Q&A panel. And she goes, oh, is it your START, your private practice group? And I said, yeah, it is. Because everybody knows. Because I have a great support system here with me in my community. I'm with people all the time. I love people. But sometimes they just don't get private practice. And the challenges and the wins and successes and the growth. And for me, the biggest part of this group is I could have done it on my own, but the mentorship, the community support, you're reading the comments right now, like so encouraging. This was encouragement for me tonight. Like I know that I can post hard things in the group and people will respond and they'll send me messages and they'll encourage me so I can move forward and get out of my funk. And so if you're questioning whether you're going to do it, I mean, Rachel already said you're here for a reason. Don't wait. Just jump. That's what I did. And I think I'm swimming. So I've got my friends as my floaties.
See, that's such a good analogy. It is, we are kind of like floaties, right? Yeah. You know, we don't let people fail at this, right? We make it easy to follow step-by-step instructions. And then just what, you know, she said about the group and about having that support. There's always people to ask questions about. People who kind of try to like DIY their way through private practice, to be honest with you, they make a lot of mistakes. And there's a lot of things that you have to do in a certain order that if you get it out of order, it can be expensive. It can be like super time consuming, all of these things, right? So we've really made it a point to make this as like step-by-step follow the recipe as possible. And if you get stuck, you have people to ask, right? So, and you know, for everyone watching and listening tonight, the people on this panel are the kind of people in the program. They literally are the people in the program, right? So if you're wondering, like, you know, is this like a, like, are people competitive or like blah, blah, like not at all. People are kind. They're collaborative. They're supportive. Like none of that mean girl stuff that happens in some of the other Facebook groups. Like we're just not like that. I don't tolerate that. I'm not that way. And neither are people who join these groups. So that's, just wanted to get that that point out there. Okay, Louisa, what would you tell people who are on the fence about private practice or the program?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's saying wonderful things. I think like a little over a month ago, I did a panel at my university at Seton Hall, and I had one of the students, they're about to graduate in May. And they asked me, you know, like how do you do your job? You know, like just, and what if like you don't know something? And what if you're having a really hard time doing X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, I just do it and hope for the best. And I used to not be like that at all. I would be like, I need to plan everything to the T. And now I'm like, you know what? Just jump, put your whole self into it and you will be fine. And even when it came to making the decision to do this, I was like, I had been following you in grad school. And I was like, okay, one day. And then one day finally came. And then I just totally dove in. I love the organization. And that's kind of like a big component of what I needed was like, I need someone to tell me exactly what I need to get the basics done. And you've given me more than just the basics, you know, the group on Facebook and just having those connections is wonderful. Like sometimes I just have a random question and I'll either go search in like videos or past conversations, or I just throw it in there and be like, someone's going to give me an answer. And they do. And even if it's like, and then it might spark a conversation where they're like, I'm going to DM you. And I'm like, okay, great. And we just chat and you talk to these people that you've never met in real life before, but they exist out there in the world and they support you and they're thousands of miles away, you know? And you didn't think you'd get that kind of support from like a stranger on Facebook, but you do. And just the way you set everything up and the way that the people are so kind and welcoming is a huge component that I didn't even think I would get, you know, going into it. So I definitely would say to do it.
Awesome. Yeah. We are definitely a kind and welcoming crew for sure. And it truly is one of those no stupid questions kind of things, right? And I, you know, people feel comfortable asking questions. And just like you said in the group, you know, this program's been around for a couple of years. So lots of questions have been asked, right? Pretty much all the questions have been asked. So it's also nice to be able to have some, you know, just be able to search the group. And a lot of times you can find the answers to your questions. If not, we have a team of mentors and we also have, you know, we've now have had 2,500 SLPs and OTs go through this program. It's a lot of people, right? And there's people in every state. We have people in Canada. We have people in Ireland and in Australia. And so we've got people all over the place who just truly want everyone to succeed and are very giving with their information. Vanessa, what would you say to people who are on the fence about private practice and or the START program?
I feel like it has to be a mindset shift. I think people have to really reevaluate where their headspace is at, if they're being clouded by imposter syndrome, analysis paralysis, all of those things, and really shift it from like a fixed mindset to a growth mindset and recognize that this is an investment. This isn't just you pay this money, you join this click, like Jenna said, we're mean girls. Like No, you're paying for something that is priceless. I mean, for example, prime example, last night, insurance provider had reached out to me for credentialing, searched the course, found some background history on that payer company that did not look good, did more history after that. And I was like, never mind. So it's saving yourself time. It's saving yourself mistakes. It's saving yourself headaches. Had I not been in this course and not known any better, I would have been like, yay, they want to, you know, credential with me. This is fantastic. Sure, I'll sign here. I'll look at this, do that. That number looks good. And then you end up in a situation where it's not beneficial to you or your company. So I think it's a mindset shift. This is an investment. This is an investment in yourself, long-term, short-term. You're going to benefit from it. And I actually have now a lot of besties locally, even adult practitioners, which is like a unicorn, but it won't be for long because there will be more adult private practitioners, mark my words. But like right up the street, like literally two blocks from me, there's someone else that opens an adult private practice. And it's not like, oh, competitor, like, let me not. No, no, no. We are networking together. We are referring people to each other that are Spanish speaking. She's sending them to me, vice versa. We meet often, like, hey, I'm working on submitting this claim. And Katie Brown's course, who is also a private practice alumni, Medicare for SLPs, hands down, like amazing. So it's just really nice to be in an environment that is warm, welcoming, genuine, and they've laid out the framework already. Like this is not their first rodeo. It is for us, but not for them. So it's beneficial for us because we can navigate that, whether it's for peds or adults. There's something you're bound to learn. And to me, it's all worth it because now is the time to execute and go straight forward. But if you can save yourself mistakes and grief and money along the way, it's like no question. So like I said, I would have done it sooner.
Yeah. Well, and like, I love that too. I just think times are changing, right? And this is really just part of like the new way to do it, right? Everything that y'all have heard tonight have been prime examples of the way that we are really taking back this profession, right? And like, you know, psychologists and other mental health workers have been in private practice for forever, right? And like, I feel like this is still a very new horizon for us. But when you go on Instagram on Sundays, everything's about the Sunday scaries, right? Today, someone posted a thing that I then reposted, but it was some guy getting like whacked by dodgeballs, right? And people saying like, oh my gosh, what it feels like to be in the schools in May, right? And so like people are beat up and people are tired and, you know, staffing issues, right? People's caseloads are ballooning because of need, but also because there's just not the staff to see everyone, right? No one is getting paid more, right? And so if you want to be able to have more control over your life, over your caseload, over the money that you make, the schedule that you have, this truly is the only way to do it. And so what everyone has heard tonight are four amazing examples, rather, of folks who have done it, right? And they haven't like leapt into scary private practice waters. They've all dipped their toes in and literally been given a roadmap for how to do it. And, you know, I'm very proud of each of you for just like, you know, taking a chance on yourself, taking a chance on me, and making this come true for yourselves and also for your community. So, and also thank you for being part of the panel tonight. Each of you needs to be on the podcast. Rachel, we've had you on the podcast. You're welcome to come back for another time. But Megan, Louisa, and Vanessa definitely would love to have you for full episodes of the podcast. So because I know that people love giveaways, we do have a giveaway tonight, but I need people who are watching to do me a favor. We're recording this on something called StreamYard, and I can't see people's names. Can you please, in the comments, type your name in the chat so that I can know who any of you are? Because on my end, what I see is Facebook user, which is super not helpful for a giveaway. So type your name in, and we're going to give a couple minutes for people to type their names in. While you're doing that, let me tell you what I'm giving away. So what I'm giving away are two copies of the new client onboarding kit. So this is basically a checklist that goes through, okay, you have a new client. What do you need to do? Like first, second, third. There's an insurance verification form if your client has insurance. And there's also, I think, either two or three like email templates to confirm a first visit and kind of get started the right way. And so that's, we're going to give away two of those. I also wanted to say for anyone who has not yet joined, who's on the fence, I still have a couple of these workbooks. So these are physical versions of the workbook. You get a digital version in the course. This is also the brand new workbook. We just totally overhauled the whole course in February. So this is like still very brand new, but I still have some of these. So if you're thinking about joining, go to privatepracticecourse.com, sign up, and I can send you one. I think I have six left. So make sure you're one of the six. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to do a little bit of like a roulette situation here. And I'm going to randomly pick people. Okay, my first person I randomly picked by scrolling around is Kayla Praviti. Kayla Praviti, you are person number one. And the next person, I'm not looking, I'm just scrolling, is Lauren Fabrize. Fabrize. Awesome. So congratulations to our winners. Someone on my team will reach out to get you the resources. But for those of you who have, you know, been inspired by what you heard tonight, by the people that you've met, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to be like Megan, right? Or I want to be like Rachel. I want to be like Vanessa. I want to be like Louisa. Like, you can, right? The last time we did one of these panels, one of our guests, her name is Farwa Hussein. She was also recently on the podcast. She talked about being in boot camp and that she and a friend were in boot camp together. And she decided to join and her friend decided not to join and to try to figure it out on her own. And she's like, you know, Jenna, a year has gone by. I now have a six-figure practice working 3 days a week. And she's still in the schools trying to figure out how to get out of there. So if you're thinking about this and this is something that you want to do, don't wait, right? Come join us. We would love to have you. We'd love to support you, just like we've supported our lovely panelists tonight. But if you have any questions, you know how to reach out to me. You can send me a DM on Instagram. You can send me messages. You can talk to Elise Mitchell. Any of us are happy to help you. But panelists, thank you for being on tonight. Thank you for sharing your stories. I promise that we're going to have all of these ladies on for full episodes of the podcast if they haven't been on already. But again, thank you all for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of Private Practice Bootcamp. And we will all be in touch. All right. Take care, everybody.
Wow. Okay. So what did you think of those stories? Powerful, huh? I hope that as you listen to their stories, you saw yourself in various aspects of their lives and can see how they've been bettered by being in private practice, how they took a chance on themselves and on me, and how it worked out and gave them the future that they needed, whether they were looking for freedom, flexibility, fulfillment, or financial independence. These are the kinds of people that the Start Your Private Practice program attracts. The thousands of SLPs and OTs who have gone through our program are regular clinicians with private practice dreams that they are making come true. Making the decision to start a private practice is a big decision, but it could also be your best decision. I can't wait to help you start your private practice. To enroll, head on over to Start Your Private Practice course, and I'll see you in the program.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.